23rd Psalm, how could I not preach on it? The most, perhaps the most beloved passage in all of Scripture and throughout all the ages. The 23rd Psalm has been memorized by most children in Sunday school. I read it at every funeral. I will this afternoon. The 23rd Psalm, countless numbers of books and devotionals and sermons have been written, with the primary text being Psalm 23. Now, my dilemma for the last several weeks has been, how can I say anything new to you about Psalm 23? I was reminded of the words of Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock is a preacher's preacher who always seems to have the right words about any text. And so I look, what did Craddock preach on Psalm 23? And Craddock said this: just tell the people what they already know. It's the old, old story they need to hear again and again. And so I want to share with you some truths that you already know, but perhaps we all need to hear again and again. Here's the first truth from Psalm 23. In life, in all of life, God provides for our every need. God knows. God knows we need comfort. We live in a day of such anxiety. Young parents hardly ever let their children out of their sight. Gun violence and daily murders are just commonplace, and it shouldn't be. And the latest terrorist list should keep every one of us awake at night. Suddenly we read and know all about computer hackers and about germs and about calories, and all of it frightens us. And we're overcome. So often we're overcome and you just want to stay in bed and cover up your head. I have this week, it's all I could do the last few days, to watch the news of the tragedy in Florida. Isn't that overwhelming when I picture those folks who simply went to bed, and I pray to God they never knew or felt anything. And yet, in spite of our worries, and in spite of all the inner conflicts and the stresses and all the unknowns that are in your life, we can draw from an inner resource called God, and a peace which only God can provide, a peace which truly surpasses my comprehension. I cannot understand when I am overwhelmed with that peace, because only God could give that peace. Now the Psalm 23, the imagery is so powerful. One of my fears is we read it so often and we hear it read that we lose some of the richness. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. He leads me along the paths of righteousness, along the right paths for his name's sake. The shepherd pictured in this grand psalm, the shepherd leading sheep. Now, I've preached numerous times on Psalm 23. I did like a 5-week series since I've been here. And I've said a lot about sheep. The sheep aren't the greatest, smartest animals. Now, I like sheep better than goats, but I really don't like either one of them. Sheep are not too smart. And yet, the psalmist, David, uses this motif, this amazing portrait, where we're the sheep. We are those not too smart sheep, but we have a shepherd. And the shepherd provides security and safety because we sure need it. The word picture, that even the waters around us are still, because we know if the waters were rushing, those sheep would just fall right in and all that wool and down they would go. But the waters provided by the shepherd are still. One translation said they're quiet waters, peaceful waters. Oh, every word in Psalm 23 is rich. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or maybe a better translation is, I lack nothing. Maybe it's not everything I want, but everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. It's probably been 40 years ago that classic book really shook our world. Rabbi Harold Kushner, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? I remember reading it and then studying it at Baylor. Kushner, in a part of that book, tells about his son. He and his wife had a son born with an incurable disease. And at the age 14, the son died. I want you to listen to what Rabbi Kushner wrote. He said, I ask myself how my wife and I got through it. You would think that it would shatter the faith of the average person, any person. Where did we find the strength and ability to raise our son, to comfort our son when he was sick and when he was scared, and ultimately to bury our son? The answer, when we used up all our strength and all our love and all our faith, there really was a God who replenished our love, a God who replenished our strength, a God who restored our faith. God provides. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. God provides in our life for our every need. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Go to the shepherd. Go to the shepherd, O church. For he provides for your need in all of life. And I think especially does the shepherd provide for our need in trials and in tragedy and in death. He provides that comforting presence. Every one of us walks through a valley. Everyone. A valley. There's not a promise in the psalm that pain and sorrow and despair will somehow just pass you by because you live in East Texas, or because you go to the First Baptist Church, or because you really love God. You don't find that promise in Scripture. Now, it's preached in a lot of churches. But there is a promise that though you walk through valleys, you don't walk alone. You're accompanied in your travel through the darkest valley, for thou art with me. I mentioned Rabbi Kushner, but you may be familiar with William Sloan Coffin. I know I've heard of Ernest and Glenda, New York City. They've just returned. William Sloan Coffin was the former pastor at the Great Riverside Church in New York City. And like Kushner, he lost a son in a tragic accident. In the midst of that loss, he was surrounded by his church family, And he wrote a note to his family, his church family, after that funeral. In their weekly bulletin, Sloan Coffin wrote, "You gave me what God gives all of us, minimum protection, but maximum support." I want you to hear me again, church. No one is immune from the adversities of life. Problems plague all of us. When we're in it, we think we're the only one. But everyone has their valley. In the valley of death is difficult at all times. And yes, I think it's true that there's minimum protection because we have to walk through those valleys. There's minimum protection that God grants, but there's always maximum support. In the valley, the psalmist said, "In the darkest valley, you are with me." Not that you pull me out of it, not that you keep me away from the valley, but you're with me in the valley. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God, you even prepare a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Then you anoint my head with oil, Psalm 133, last week. You anoint my head with oil. Your presence is known. My cup overflows. In trials and tribulations, in darkness, in despair, even in death, God provides. Go to the shepherd. Yes, in life, go to the shepherd. And yes, in trials, go to the shepherd. And in death, but as the choir just sang, even in eternity, God provides a place for us to dwell together. God is for you, church. God is for you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, is how the psalmist ends Psalm 23. One commentator I read said, that's really a weak and wimpy translation of that last sentence. He wrote a better translation, is God's loving kindness pursues me all the days of my life. I like that. God's loving kindness pursues me. God is actively longing for you and working for your well-being. God is seeking after you. I've preached many a sermon about how that we seek God, and there are churches, especially 20 years ago, that were known as seeker churches, seeker-friendly. But to think that God seeks after us. God seeks after us. God is the seeker. Your loving kindness pursues after us all the days. All the days of our life. And we will dwell. We will settle down and be at home with the Lord forever. Forever is a long time. Forever. And ever, which country singer sang it? Forever and ever, amen. That statement, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that's a resurrection statement. That's a resurrection hope statement that we have a God who supports us and nurtures us and pursues us, not only in this life, but in the next, and God will not abandon us. The Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need now and forever. God provides. Go to the shepherd. Or better yet, let the shepherd come to you. A 150 psalms. And I wondered, why Psalm 23? Why has it become that psalm that really speaks to us. I think, well, we really attribute it to David. Some of the psalms were not written by David, probably, but this one really looks like a David psalm talking about sheep and shepherd. We like it because, well, David is so David. He's bigger than life himself. David, you know, he took out Goliath. He was this great, great king, powerful poet, wonderful musician, a man after God's own heart. That David. But I think we most relate to David when we realize he's a lot like us. He wasn't superhuman or super holy. He was like us. A fugitive from King Saul, he feared for his own life. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, committed the murder of Uriah. He experienced the death of a baby and other children as well. His enemies were all around him. Everywhere he looked, there were folks out to get him. He had a constant critic among his own people. His children were anything but good. They raped and killed each other, and his own son turns against him. Yes, David had great victories and great joys, and yet we relate to David because he had tough times, hard days, tragedy, failure, but still he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I truly lack nothing." Church, you too can relate to David, for you have a shepherd that meets you and meets your needs. Maybe not your wants, but he meets your needs. Go to the shepherd, or perhaps better, let the shepherd come to you in life. God provides for your every need. In trials and even death, God provides his comforting presence in eternity. God provides a place to dwell forever. We just sang 2 weeks ago, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." Come on, singers. And when I told John I want to sing that again, John said, "Well, we just sang that 2 weeks ago," and I said, "That's all right." It's hymn number 61, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care." Savior, lead us. We're going to sing that. But before we sing that, I want you to stand, and I want us to say together the 23rd Psalm. We're going to say it the way God most loves it, and that's in the King James Version. You see the words on your screen to the 23rd Psalm. Are the words on the screen to the 23rd? Oh, well, that never is. I'm going to start saying them with you, and then I'm just going to listen. Say it from your heart. Say it with all the truth that it's filled with. Say it as a testimony to God. Let us read. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, Father, we thank you for your word, for Holy Scripture, for a psalm like this that reminds us, go to the shepherd, go to the shepherd, go to the shepherd, because the shepherd provides. We hang on to that hope in life, in trial, in tribulation, in death, and we'll hold on to it all the way to eternity. Thanks be to God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.